Amen. I want my part. You want your part? You came here tonight expecting you'll get your part. Because that's what it says, the word of God impart. He's going to impart to you what you want tonight. You will get exactly what you want tonight. If you come expecting, as we were speaking on last week, you will get, you're going to get something one way or the other. Like Brother Brown said, you can stand in the presence of an eternal person and you'll never be the same. So you'll never, ever be the same. And good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here. Let's be mindful of the weather coming up this weekend. We'll be in contact with you on Saturday. We're going to wait and see and just pray that if we do get anything, I hope it's not ice. I'm just going to pray it ain't ice. I don't care if we get snow, but I sure don't want ice because it's going to tear every power line we got down. So just be prepared, though. Get you some flashlights. Get you some water. Get you some warm clothes out and you may have to pile up together and stay warm. So what Brother Anderson, they were going to do, they just going to pile up in a pile and stay warm. So I think he would probably be the one that would not get the benefit because most of him would be out of the pile as tall as he is. So, but just use wisdom. We'll call and let you know, Saturday about Sunday. We're not going to, we're not going to get out if it's bad. And we will, Brother Manuel will be speaking for us next Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, a week from today. The banquet. Now, if you're bringing somebody with you, I want you to sign up downstairs, but put beside you who you are bringing with you. All right? Who you're bringing with you. Okay? And February the 11th is the cutoff date. Anna, that should be enough time to, 10 days. So February the 11th will be that Wednesday night. It'll be the cutoff date of who's coming and who's not coming because we need to get the caterer ready. Anna and them have to buy plates, napkins, forks, and all the things that they get and see how many will be there for the game. The prizes, I know the Ohio group's excited. They're watching in tonight. So God bless you up there in sunny, warm Ohio with about a foot of snow on the ground. So, but they move around with a foot of snow. We don't move around with a foot of snow down here. Our inch is like their foot. You know, we get an inch, we shut everything down. But they're watching in tonight. They're going to start watching in, as I said before, when we start our series on the seals. And we're going to, they're going to watch online. And I pray that the Lord will give us something. Because it's a late hour. We got to get this thing right. If we don't get it right, we're going to still just be here. And we're just going to keep getting older. We're just going to keep getting weaker. And we're going to, we just got to take the promise that God give us. Right. And we got to hold on to it. Yeah. Hold on to it to the bitter end. We're going to hold on to it. I know there's going to be a group of people that's going to, Brother Branham would have wasted his time if somebody don't make this thing come to pass. Right. 1,100 sermons, the whole man's life, his death will be worthless if somebody don't come and bring to fruition what he said. Because he was a prophet of God. So being a prophet of God, I can tell you, thus saith the Lord, there will be a group of people that will take this thing on to the coming of the Lord. Somebody's going to stand on the earth and say, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? We're not going to it. Amen. I believe that too, brother. I do too. So let's turn in our Bibles. Let's start. We're going to be a little bit more on. We got to get through Matthew 24 before we get started, but there's a little something else I want to bring in. You need to make sure you read or listen to Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. I know that's a, that's kind of a long sermon, but well, you'll watch an out movie for 3 hours, so you ought to be able to listen to a sermon. That's one of the greatest sermons Brother Brown preached. And he said, if you don't understand the seals, come back to that message right there. So that message right there then is the keystone. So if you don't understand this, you got to come to understand the Christ of Mystery. Now, listen, what is Christ of Mystery God Revealed in a nutshell? Brother Branham is giving this in a threefold manner. All God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ was, he poured into the church. Take her back to the Garden of Eden. That's the threefold purpose that God had. So you can melt every bit of this down to those three things. And we got to look and see that threes are very important. even in the seals, because the sixth seal come in a threefold manner. The seventh seal come in a threefold manner. But we'll understand that a little bit later on. Now, what does you mean by unfold? There was something came up like this right here. You have Brother Brown said, I saw one fold of it, but I didn't see the next one. So God was showing him this. Then God showed him this, and he didn't understand it. And then he understood it later, because I believe he understood it when he preached, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Amen. So we're going to start on that. Remember that this may take a little time, but we're going to try to keep it slow so everybody can understand. Because, listen, folks, this is important. You can shout, speak in tongues, raise the dead, and heal the sick. That's okay. That's been done for 2,000 years. Right. And what has it produced? Not a rapture. Not a resurrection. Not yet it hadn't. No. But this will. So this is going to produce a resurrection and a rapture. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Just remember all these things. Thank you again this past weekend for everybody participating and bringing food. Brother Darrell said he had a wonderful time. He got home in time this time for, they're expecting all 2 feet of snow up there on Saturday and Sunday, 24 plus inches. So praise God, we live a little bit lower and south than they do. Whoa, that's a lot. Even for them, that's a lot. So just remember, God is perfected in threes. This is all going to be justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost, because you can't go any more than that. Sure, we got a four. We know that, but it's the three put together. Luther had justification, so he couldn't go to perfection. Luther had sanctification. He took what Luther had, Wesley took what Luther had, and he added it to it, but he had things that were, as Brother Ram called them, loose ends, okay? Because I'll prove it to you in just a minute, because the church really unraveled at Nicaea. The doctrines fell apart. Everything fell apart at Nicaea back in 325 and 606 is where it really went into denominationalism, all right? And then you got the three, all God was in Christ, poured in Christ, Christ into the church, and the same thing. Then you got sayings, deeds, and doctrines. So everything we're going to talk about in the seals is going to be pretty much in a threefold manner. And I'll tell you in just a few minutes, because you need to watch this very closely. Are you listening? There is a natural opening of those seals. But there is a spiritual opening of those seals that it's to us. Not to the world, not to nobody else, not to any other age but us. Okay? It's the only time that it could ever happen. But there's going to be a natural opening. There's going to be a tribulation period. There's going to be all these things, wars and rumors of wars. And we're going to see some of that, but we're not going to see all of it. Because we're going to be ejected. I mean, we go out of here on the fourth seal. Yes. All right, so there's three more seals left, which are the sixth one is horrible. That's the tribulation period. We're not going to be there. Right. But some people will be there. Mm-hmm. All right, so are you with me? Amen. So that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the threefold manner of everything opening, even the seals. All right, so let's bow our heads just for a minute. Dear Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, just settle us down. Lord, may we speak the words, Lord, that people understand. And Lord, may it be given as it was given to me, Lord. It was as I was writing these things down and meditating the last few days, Lord, may it be given out to the people, Lord, in such a simple form till they'll understand it, Lord, because you gave it to us to understand. And if you gave it to us to understand, if there's a curriculum to the resurrection and a curriculum that takes that to the rapture, there's got to be a study book, there's got to be teachers, there's got to be schools that preach, or churches that preach the true word of God. We're depending on that, Lord. The greatest miracle ever is, Lord, is for you to reveal yourself to somebody. Lord, I pray that you would do that tonight. If nobody hears it but one person, Father, I pray that one person will get something tonight and will take it and make it a part of their self, and Lord, live it as they should live it, Lord. I pray that you'd bless each one here, be with the ones that are sick. Lord, be with us this weekend, Father, that if we do have the storm coming in, that it'll be just light, Lord, and won't be so bad, and nobody will be hurt, Lord. I know there's going to be people got to work. and first responders and ambulance and all they have to work, police officers. Lord, I pray that you'd protect them, Lord. They have to be out there. That's their job. But I pray that you'd protect them, Father. Just be with us, lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 says, but as is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them, what? That love him. So there's a stipulation for them that love him. All right, and you can only love God how? By the new birth. That's the only way you can love God. There's people say they love God, but if they don't have the new birth, they're just, it's just words. It's more of a filial love than it is an agape love, all right? That's why we had to have a prophet that preached agape love, had agape love, preached agape love, and listen, there had to be a group of people that's got agape love to understand that love. Amen. That Brother Branham gave. Everything Brother Branham preached to us was love. It was the love of God that brought that to me and you, yeah. Amen, and grace that we heard it. And responded. A lot of people heard it and didn't respond. Amen. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now, what is revealed? Something's hidden, and then it's going to be made known. All right? By his Spirit searcheth all things for the Spirit, the deep things of God, even the inmost depths of God's being. You may be seated. Brother Darrell touched on it. That's why I was going back to Christ the Mystery, where Brother Branham said, he said, let's go back into the back part of God's mind and see what his plan and purpose was. Because without a plan and a purpose, even God himself, as eternal and perfect as he is, he had a plan. And that plan was going to be achieved because God can't do anything and it not come to pass. All right? So we're going to depend on that. We're going to depend that depend on the word of God, that if we hear it and we apply it. I was thinking just a few minutes ago, and please don't get me wrong. Please don't get me wrong, but we should not be preaching life lessons at the moment. Come on. I mean, we have to the ones that just came in, but a lot of y'all I'm sitting here now have been here a long, long time. We shouldn't have to go over and talk about hair and dress and coming to church and all that. We got to move on to perfection, okay? We've got to be students that want to learn. Students that want to know what God's got for us. And the only way it's going to happen is you are going to have to get it through somebody that preaches the word of God. There's no other way around it. Listen, let's don't be too hard on the people that press play, because we press play. Right? We're a tape church, bro. Every 30 minutes of every sermon, we play a tape. So we're covered. But the way they have it is, though, that's the only way you're going to get it is to listen to a tape. Now, that's not true. That is not true. You got to hear it. The Bible says through the foolishness of preaching, God has ordained a group of people, a fivefold ministry, to bring us to perfection. Amen? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to strive and try our best, all the ministry. And even you laity have got a job to do. Like Brother Darrell said, you know, this is important. If it's cut off, you can really tell it's important if it gets cut off, even your little toe on your foot. Right. So we're going to, from now till we finish this, we're going to try to break it down so that we can all understand that when somebody says seals, we think of full redemption. Right. All right? Amen. We've had redemption, okay? We've had redemption since before the foundation of the world, but since the day of Pentecost, when God went in 120 people and restored them back, put eternal life in their soul, and restored them to where they should have been, okay? But not their bodies. God's got to work on the body. The body of Adam is what fell. The body of Eve is what fell. They did not fall in their soul, but they got twisted and trapped and did what they did because Satan is the greatest trapper. And as one brother said one time, he's the best tripper upper there is. And he is. He knows your weakness. Sometimes more than you do, because sometimes he has to do something to show you your weakness. But you know what? God uses that. God uses the devil all the time to show us our weaknesses. like I said before, the 200,000 demons in the river Euphrates were loosed on Eichmann and Hitler. Well, who loosed them? You say, well, the devil did. The devil don't have no power to do that. God had to allow that to happen. God's the only one that's got the key to death and hell. He's the only one that's got the key to the devil's house. So God released him, because Brother Branham continues with that statement. It says, and has been released on an end-time bride to do what? Drive her back to her homeland. Right. And what is our homeland? The seals in a group of people. Amen. Everybody with me? Amen. Okay. Let's read this quote. The mystery will be revealed in the last day when the seventh angel's message, not when he starts out doing this. Now, what are we saying? It was not, Brother Branham, in 1947, that was not the seventh angel's message. Everybody with me? That was not his message. It was according to one scripture. Malachi 4 was to return the hearts back. But remember, Brother Brown brings in Revelation 10:7, which brings the voice of the seventh angel messenger. Now in a bride called, or John, comes into John, and then John prophesies. So that's the way it's supposed to be. That's what he said. So, Brother Brown, listen, I'll be real specific. Brother Brown's message began when he said, here stands a lamb with a book in his hand, and there goes a white horse rider, therefore that must be the Antichrist. That's when his message started. That's when the thunder shouted. That's when the third pull began. Amen. That's when his real message began. That was the headstone message that had been sealed since Calvary. Right there in that week, Brother Brown said, I've never worked under a greater anointing than this week. Now, he's seen thousands healed. He's seen thousands upon thousands of people, hundreds raised from the dead. He's seen mighty miracles. He said, I've never worked in what? The opening of the word is the greatest anointing you could ever have. Yes. Jesus said, Brother Brown said, Jesus' greatest anointing was what? I read it to you last Sunday. Was when he opened the book and identified, come on, somebody, he identified who he was. We got to identify who we are. You're going to identify who you are. You're either going to be sealed in or sealed out, and it's going to be up to you to do it. But when he begins to sound his message, see, not the years in preparation. Now, a long time ago, there was a group of people that said, well, we're not going to take any quotes before 1963. We're just going to take quotes from 63 to 65 when he died. Well, that's pretty narrow-minded. That means that we're going to just read the New Testament and not the Old. Amen. Because it's old. Right. No. From 47 to 63, Brother Branham, as good as he could, he brought and set a stage to build on it the message that he was supposed to bring. Amen. All right? Amen. That's why God didn't just start the taping in 1963. He started the tape in 1947. Or he wouldn't have needed it. He needed it. We all needed it. So you can't throw those out. You've got to have those for a background. That's why all this has been background, 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 background. Amen. But we must come to a time to where that those backgrounds are behind us. Amen. Know where you stand. Know who you are. Know what kind of know what kind of position you're in right now. Because it's an individual affair with God. That's why you're going to see people that are going to deny, and well, they already are, denying the message. Amen. Why are they denying the message? Because, I don't know if this is a word or not, the denier is in them. Right? Because you and I don't deny this message. Well, then what are we? We're believers. Amen. They think they're believers, but they're unbelievers. Our mate believers. But the mate believers are going to be exposed, because they will, because remember, to be the mate believer is pretty much like the foolish virgin. Yes. Only going to come so far, think they got it already, and God's going to say, nope, you stopped right here. Everybody with me? Yeah. All right? But they were virgins, so they were Christians to a point. Right. All right? You can't de-Christianize them, but they didn't get the new birth or they'd go in a rapture. Yeah. They got to give their life, Brother Brown said, for the gospel in the tribulation period because they weren't fully. You and I right now, if you're born again, you're sealed in. There is no tribulation. There is no white throne judgment. Like I said before, those are two of the greatest revelations you'll ever get. Is if you'll strive to get born again here, you got a free ride to the future home. Amen? Now, I didn't say it was a good ride. I said it was a free ride. Because with this thing still attached, it's a bumpy ride. All right? So see, not the years in preparation, but when he begins to sound the message, these mysteries then will be revealed. Now watch. And here they are. Not knowing them, and you people are a witness of it. So we go to Luke 17:30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Brother Richard Wilson and I, we were discussing this. And sorry to say, there's a lot of people in the message do not understand the ministry of the Son of Man. Because they're stuck in the Son of God revelation, which is truly the new birth. It has nothing to do with eternal life. But we're coming to a place where I want a body change. I don't want to have to go through death. I don't want to have to be in another dimension and come back here. I want to be right here. I want to be full. I want to fulfill what the Bible said. We which are alive and remain. That's a little word, but it has a lot involved when it says we which are alive and remain. That doesn't just mean we as anybody. I just happened to be there. No, you didn't just happen to be there. So one more time, the difference in what the Son of God ministry is, the church ages, God as the Holy Ghost dwelling in a group of people that sometimes have flaws in their doctrine. Is everybody with me? Luther was born again. He was under the Son of God revelation, but he taught a Trinity. He taught a lot of the Catholic Church things. He taught exactly what they had. But God wasn't looking at that at the moment. He was looking at Luther, said the just shall live by faith. Faith. Believers. Become believers. Not believers in the Pope or believers in the priest. Be believers in yourself. That's what you and I got to do. Be believers in ourselves. Yes, amen? But when the Son of Man is revealed, that means that God has immorphied himself in his last position before the change of the body, which is, now listen, which is the same 3.5 years that Jesus preached on this earth, okay? The same ministry. What is the ministry of Jesus Christ? Perfection, resurrection, body change, rapture. Because the Son of Man did all those. But remember, he couldn't come back as the Son of Man because remember, the Son of Man is the headstone. He's the perfect one. He didn't need to be told what to do. He didn't need to get himself cleaned up. But we do. That's why I say when we come to the Son of Man ministry, you can't sit and fight over little doctrines because when Jesus was here, there was no doctrine. I'll bring it to you when we start on the seals. Brother Brown said the first three ages, they had the pure, unadulterated word of God. But that third age ended in 325 A.D., and you know what happened? Or 606, one of the two. But you know what happened? It went back to Nicaea, and the church unraveled at Nicaea, Rome. Under the weight of the devil bringing false doctrine in. But listen, God had to allow that because he said a corn of wheat had to fall into the ground and die before it could come up to fruition because the seed has to be planted, but that seed has to come through a plant to make itself again. You can't just put a seed in and then all of a sudden a seed pops up. No, you plant a seed and then the two ears, the stalk, the shuck, the tassel, it comes on out to the full ear of corn, which is what? It's that seed.
That's right.
Matured. That seed has matured itself, and you can take that, if it's not hybrid, you can take that seed and put it in the ground, and it'll bring another one forth. That's why you and I, the seed's been planted in our heart. We bring forth whatever position we want to be in. We can, you know, sometimes I look in my garden back when we had one, and you know, some of the corn was, Charlotte, some of the corn would be this high. I plant them all at the same time. Some would be this high, some would be this high, some would be this high. Plant them at the same time. Right? If you've ever done a garden that way, you know that some come to fruition before others. Why? It was where you planted it, how much fertilizer that you give it, how much sunlight. It had to be in a position to draw those nutrients out of the ground and grow. But they all had the same opportunity when the seed went in the ground. So the seed is being planted now. The seed word of God is being planted in the hearts of the believers. And what are we bringing forth? Are we bringing forth a crop that is not 100%? Are we bringing 30-fold, 60-fold? What are we bringing? Isn't that what the Bible said about the sower of the seed? Right? I want to be that 100% will be the bride that takes a body change. That 100% is because, remember, Jesus was referring to himself. Corn of wheat must go in the ground and die. What? Jesus had to go in the ground, die, be buried, to resurrect, and he was the whole plant. He was the one that, when the ear of corn came out and there's ever how many brides going to be, that's how many was on that ear of corn. And then he took during every church age, and when he come to you and give you the new birth, he took and planted that seed right there. And listen, if the seed in the ground was eternal, you can't change it. If that seed was eternal when it was planted. You say, boy, it didn't look like it was. Jesus was eternal, folks, except for his body. But when that seed was planted, the what happened? A seed's got to rot. His body didn't rot, and you understand what I'm saying, but it had to be pulled away from the life so that it can come back up on Easter morning or resurrection morning. But what he done, he was a fully matured plant. And you and I are the recipients of that planting of one man in 2,000 years ago called Jesus Christ. But that's an expectation of what's got to happen now. Now, got to happen the same thing. Because when Jesus came out of the grave, his body was eternal. His spirit and soul was already eternal, but his body became eternal because it went through a process. But remember, that process was for me and you. That's why you keep reading Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed. Get on back there a little bit further in the back. He talks again about being the sinless bride of Jesus Christ. Nothing held against us. Not one speck held against us. Listen, God decided to forget your sins. That's why I'm happy as I can be. That my sins is not following me anywhere. Now, if I sin a sin, absolutely, it will follow me wherever I go. That's why you got to get it right. That's why you got to even taking communion and stuff. You got to have your heart right. If your heart's not right, then it's not going to do you any good. And only one person knows the heart, and that's you and him. Amen? You and God. It's not you and your wife and God. It's you and God. Everybody with me? So when the Son of Man is revealed, well, now remember, you have to keep these points in mind. Jesus, the Son of Man, will not stand on this earth until the millennium. Physically, the man, flesh man, right? Everybody with me? Flesh man. So we're not talking about the Son of Man coming back and him walking through like the shores of Galilee. One more time. He decided not to do that. He decided to... Come on, somebody. He decided not to walk alone again. Amen. He wanted somebody to understand him. Amen. So he took a part of himself and put it inside of every believer so that we can understand him. Amen. That's the only way you can. You can't understand God without the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us that. Amen. You can't call Jesus the Christ except by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Everybody with me? Amen. All right, so this is just laying a foundation, the background. But you got to expect something. We were talking about expectation the other day. Anxious and persistent, looking for something. You got to be looking for something. I'm looking for something that's going to change my body. Amen. All right, everybody with me? So now we're going to come here. We're going to start here real quick. And we're going to start reading in Matthew 24 and read where Jesus, they ask him three questions. Okay, there's your number three again. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Now remember, look at me. Jesus was spiritual and natural. All his disciples were natural. They were not thinking spiritual. They weren't even thinking spiritual when they saw him resurrect and ascend. Are you going to restore the kingdom now? I'm sure Jesus, I mean, he had a lot of patience because I'd have been going. Well, finally one day he said, Peter, have I not been so long with you? Have I not been so long with you people to know what's going on? But they didn't. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. But my, once they got the Holy Ghost, that's why they were a powerful group of people in those first church ages. They took what they had and held on to it. Amen. They didn't have a recorder. They had to think about it in their head. They couldn't get it muddled up with the cares of life. And his disciples came to show the building of the temple. Jesus said unto them, see you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, they're looking at this huge temple that's 10 times the size of this building, three or four times as high. That's Solomon's temple. That's where God is supposed to meet them. Right? Jesus said it's going to be leveled to nothing, destroyed. And as he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately and says, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world. They were expecting something to happen, but they were expecting it to happen right then. All right? It did not happen right then. That's why of the 500 people that met him after his resurrection, only 120 stayed with him and had the revelation that he was going to come back on the day of Pentecost inside of their heart. All right? So we've got to be expecting something. And as I said, I got a little ahead of myself. When we read this, there is a natural happening. Jesus is going to tell us in a few minutes, there's these natural things are going to happen. Amen. All right? But there's a spiritual application that you and I have got to get, because remember, if we're supposed to have the ministry of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the headstone, and he don't come here until the millennium, it's got to be through a group of people. It's got to be through a group of people that are mature. Mm-hmm. Not babies, mature, bride, wife. Amen. Is your life worthy of the gospel? Here we are, the threes. Remember the three Exodus? Mm-hmm. Well, let's just look at the third. Then the third Exodus is when the same pillar of fire takes the bride from the church. Now watch. Out of the natural. Out of the spiritual, and the spiritual, out of the spiritual.
Amen.
No, I know what he's talking about. Because there's spiritual people out there in the world. Because right here's what he says. He corrects it, really. He says the three see the spiritual out of the church, rather. Then we get the threes, the three ages of it, which he meant justification, sanctification, baptism, and the Holy Ghost. But the third Exodus is what we are looking at right this moment.
Right.
Same pillar of fire takes the bride from the church out of the natural, out of the spiritual, and the spiritual out of the spiritual. Brother Brown said when the bride gets a revelation of the two spirits in the framework of the church,
right.
I say message church, there's two spirits working, and they are the two highest spirits ever. And they're both religious. Because now Satan is uncovered. He's been exposed. We know where he's at. We know where he's sitting.
Amen.
Some of y'all, he's sitting right behind your eyelids.
Right.
At the moment. What do y'all do on Wednesday? I take a nap. Isn't that right, Jimbo? We take a nap in the afternoon. You know what? To get ready for church. Amen. If this is boring to you, you need to find you something that excites you. Yes. I'm sorry. Find something that you can keep your eyes open for. If it ain't here, get out of here.
Right.
God's great mystery of how. It's a secret. This is Christ the mystery. This is what you should be reading. He kept it secret. Nobody knew nothing about it. Even the angels didn't understand it. See, he didn't reveal it. That's the reason. Now watch. Under our seventh mystery, seventh seal, the seventh seal was opened. There was silence. Jesus, when he was on earth, they wanted to know when he would come. He said, even the Son don't even know what's going to happen. At that moment, he was in his humanity. Everybody with me? All right. When he come back and stepped out of that tomb, when he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me, he knew when he was coming back. Even the Son himself didn't know when it's going to happen. See, God has this all to himself. Now, remember, God and Jesus are the same person. And that's the reason there was silence in heaven for a space of half an hour. And seven thunders uttered their voices. And John was even forbidden to write it, see? He summed it all up. What? The coming of the Lord. That's one thing he hasn't revealed yet of how he will come and when he will come. It's a good thing that he doesn't. No. Watch. That he doesn't. N-O, not K-N-O-W. For those of you that are listening in. He has showed. But now look. He didn't hold it for himself. He has showed or revealed it in every type in the Bible. So it's right here. It's laying in front of us today. Therefore, the entire Bible is a revelation of God's mystery in Christ. The entire Bible is an expression of one goal that God had. One purpose he wanted to achieve in the entire Bible. And all the acts of the believers in the Bible has been in type. Expressing what God's goal is. Now in this last day, he's talking to us. He has revealed it and shows it. And God's help, well, you'll see it right here this morning, what the Lord has had in his mind all along and has expressed it. That's why that message is so important. That was the plan and purpose of God from the beginning. Amen. Was to reveal Christ in a group of people. Not just reveal Christ, but reveal Christ in a group of people.
Right.
All right? Christ, the mystery of God. Let's keep reading just for a second. What was once God's great secret, great mysterious secret in his mind, now watch, is now put in the heart of believers. So it's you can't say, I don't understand or I don't know. It's open.
Right.
It's open. That is the body of Christ. What was God's once great secret in his mind before the foundation of the world is now made manifest.
Right.
Think of it. Now watch what he said. I'm sure we don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just reading what the prophet said. He said, I can't see it the way I ought to, and I'm sure you don't. But listen, that was him preaching to one group of people that were scattered, smothered, and covered, if you want to say that. All kind of denominations, all kind of ideas, all kind of thoughts. I hope that ain't the group here today. I hope that ain't the group that's coming to maturity. It's not going to be a group that's got a denominational idea. It's not going to be a group that's got a Baptist idea. I met my cousin today. We were at Walmart. She was married to my cousin, but she's my cousin anyway. So, her husband was a Baptist minister for a lot of years, and he's retired. So she said, let me ask you a question. I said, go right ahead. She said, did all your sisters wear dresses and don't cut their hair and don't wear makeup? I said, yep. I said, that's what the Bible said today. Of course, Ray, or the man didn't say anything. She said, well, I think that, and I started to say, but I didn't. I let her continue. I thought, well, you're telling me what you thought. I'm telling you what the Bible said. She said, well, it's a matter of the heart. I said, you're exactly correct. It's a matter of the heart. And I told him, I said, well, now, your denomination teaches that. I said, I'm just reading what the Bible said. Well, I don't see no different. I said, well, let me tell you this. Jesus said, if you love the world and the things of the world, the love of God's not in you.
Amen.
Now, folks, if we can't be singled out for what we believe, I'm getting down in the home now. We're in your living room. Okay? If we can't, I told her, I said, look, I said, when one of our sisters walks into Walmart, most people that look at them know they're different. Some's oblivious to the whole world. They don't care. You could walk in there naked and they wouldn't care about it. But y'all walk into that. Thank God they don't. Y'all, thank God for clothes. But y'all walk into Walmart and it's a condemnation to everybody in that room or wherever you're at.
Right.
Then I told them about the hunt that I was just on with those guys that like to cuss more than they did breathe, because they breathed while they cursed and cursed while they breathed. And the man said, and that's what I told her, I said, that man said he was a Catholic. So he's religious. I said, he even told me he was faithful. And I said, yeah, I told him. I said, yes, you're faithful to that alcohol and that filthy mouth. That's what you're faithful to.
Yes. Right.
There's got to be a separation. We've got to live what the Bible said. She said, well, I got on pants now, she said, and it don't bother me. And I thought, I still want to be friends with them. They're my kinfolks. But that's their, listen, folks, I'm telling you, that was their denomination talking.
Amen.
That was all that lady had in her mind was what her denomination said. And her husband was her pastor for 30-something years. But that was what he was taught. He went to a seminary, and they taught him all these. You know, well, it don't matter anymore. It's just how you just get them to church. Well, I agree that. Get them to church. But when you get them to church, they got to change. There's got to be a change somewhere.
Amen.
I'm telling you, don't go to a Baptist church or anywhere, but just drive by and watch them walk in the door. In the summertime, the men's got on shorts. Women's got on tank tops. They're carrying their favorite beverage in. I hope it's not alcohol. But they're carrying it. Well, Presbyterian, you never know. But who told them that? They're walking. Listen, Brother Boyd, they're walking into a house of God, they say. That's what's going to take them wherever they think they're going to be taken to. Satan has the seal. That's why you say, well, what's this got to do with the seals? It has everything to do with the seal. Because without the opening of the seals, we would not know where Satan was. We would not know that he was in the denomination, and that was him, totally him, in that denomination. And if you're attached to it, you're just as stuck as he is. But God's great mystery, what the eternal God had as a mystery, has now been unfolded in Jesus Christ. Then given right down to his church. What was once in God's mind is now in the body of Christ. Jesus makes love to the church, his bride, whispering secrets to her.
That's right.
The wedding is all warm and fuzzy and wonderful, but you have never been intimate yet. But once you get intimate, I'm talking to the adults here, I'm sorry. But once you become intimate with your wife, it's a whole different ballgame. Well, I hope y'all ain't a bunch of prudes. You got children, some of you. But isn't that what God's doing? Are we allowing our mate to make love to us?
Right.
And let this is the seed, folks. No, don't get that carnal junk out of your mind. This is the seed that God's worried about. God don't distribute sperm. He distributes his word. And that's the way it was supposed to be. And if they would have waited in the garden, there would have not been any of this. It would have been this. Adam had the book. Getting ready to speak everything, coming forth. And Eve was there to help him. But Eve got ahead of that program and said, I'll do it. Didn't work out very well, did it?
No.
Christ's mystery. Then as the kingdom, according to the promise, is ready to be issued in. Now watch. The great millennium. Taking up of the church and the destroying of the wicked. And the world under the sixth seal to be purified by a volcanic to take all the corruption and sin of the world to mold her out again and bring forth a new, bright new millennium for the age that is to come. Now, that's going to be a natural tribulation period, all right? When we see all these, great threefold revelation, God in Christ, Christ in the church, the kingdom coming, or Adam and Eve redeemed back to the Garden of Eden. Listen, if we ever get back to the Garden of Eden, we will be in a condition where there was before the fall. But we had to come this way because Adam and Eve's body was not eternal. But when we get back, oh, come on, somebody. When we get back into our Garden of Eden, we're taking an eternal body with us. That's how important this is. Listen, I do want to go to heaven. I don't want to live outside the city, though. I want to live inside that city because that's where my mate lives. That's where my husband lives. That's where my friends live.
Amen.
It would be great to make it outside. They're just as eternal, but they don't get the benefits that we get. They have not been intimate like we have been intimate to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He wants to be around us all the time. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's what he chose.
Amen.
And he chose a group of people that's going to love him back.
Yes.
More than the things of the world, more than our petty ideas, more than our wowsy, wowsy, woo, more than anything.
Amen.
Adam and Eve redeemed back to the Garden of Eden in the representation of Christ and his bride, and then the kingdom is going to be restored according to his promise. Praise be to God. Now, by the revelation of the threefold mystery, the threes again, the secret, and by the personal vindicated word, by his original headship. That's what we're coming to.
Amen.
The headstone is coming down on a group of people that will be able to receive the headship. Remember, Brother Brown said one time, he said, now, if you got iron and you got flesh, they won't mix. So if you got headstone, you got to have headstone people.
Right.
If the headstone is the revelation, true revelation of the Word of God, body, spirit, and soul, then you're going to have a group of people standing here to take that revelation.
Right.
And the only way you can take it is to know what we have been taught by the message of the hour all these 60-something years since he's been gone. It wasn't for them, folks. He just said, you ain't understanding this. And I, you know the quote I read. Brother Brown said, it's not for you on questions and answers on the seals. You're not supposed to get it.
Amen.
Well, Brother Aaron, if he stopped right there, then we're dead.
Yeah.
But there's a group of people going to catch it. When God speaks to a prophet, it has to come to pass.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. It's got to come to pass. But you know what it takes? It takes somebody to say, be it unto me according to the word I just heard. Be it unto me. Bring the word to me, Lord. We've arrived. We've arrived at a place we can't go backwards anymore. We've got to go forward. We got to change. We got to change and change some more. 2026 is going to be a year of change. Now, that means naturally and spiritually. There's a lot of things going on out there in that world that Brother Brown told us was going to happen that we already knew, so we don't have to preach on it for hours. We don't have to get political about it. It doesn't matter to me what name you put on it. United States is the image of the beast. I don't care who's running the USA. They are going to be the one that speaks for Rome. Now, it just so happens we got the right guy in both places. You ever read where the Bible says that craft will prosper in the end time? All these things are going to start. You look at the stock market. It's heading straight up. But remember, to fall doesn't mean to just drop something from here to the floor. Fall means you get on top of Stone Mountain. And you drop, you falling. That's what's going to fall. This whole place is going to collapse, folks.
Right. That's right.
Listen, just like we're getting ready for this storm to come up, be vigilant. Okay? But that's not your life.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You think, well, yeah, I'm going to protect my life. This is protecting your life.
Amen.
This is protecting your afterlife.
Amen.
You might be protecting your life at the moment, but this today is what we're talking about is going to protect you for an eternity. For an eternity. Which one do you want? You want partial or you want perfect?
Right.
Amen.
Everybody all right?
Amen.
Finally, let's get on this just for about 15 or 20 minutes. Are we okay? The white horse. Now, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, there had to be on the earth, there had to be a white righteous church for Satan to copy. Now listen, remember through this whole series, Satan never, ever, ever, ever is an originator of anything. He is a deceiver, a copycat, right? But his copy is totally opposite from God. It may look close, but it's not. Jesus answered, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name and say, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Brother Brown went on the sixth seal. Now he's going to start answering. He told us about the first seal. He's going to answer what's going to happen. So we're going to have a natural happening, then I'm going to tell you here real quick a little bit about a spiritual happening. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Who did we find this fellow was? The Antichrist, all right? Matthew 24, 4 and 5. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name and say, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. See, Antichrist, there's your seal. Well, the first seal, there had to be, there had to be a white righteous church on the earth for Satan to copy from.
Amen.
But what had happened, listen to me real quick, what had happened was they had got so close. And Brother Branham even says that their limbs intertwined.
Right.
So it's not this bad, gnarly, stinking, black-looking tree over here and this great, beautiful tree of life over here. Brother Branham said in the end time that their limbs are intertwining because it's the deception of the age. But, see, that's why, come on, that's why the seals had to open. It gives me confidence to know what the doctrine of our church is, the doctrine of the believers are. I have no question. I don't have to call James Dobson. I don't have to call. Listen, they're great men. Okay? Charles Spurgeon, all those, Smith Wigglesworth, we've been talking about him. Not too many. Great man of faith.
Yeah.
Great man of faith. But he didn't have everything.
Right.
Brother F.F. Bosworth, Brother Brown's bosom friend, never could accept the message. But he had faith. He had faith for the time. And Brother Brown said, that old oak tree. In other words, he stood there and he knew what his faith was.
Right.
And he'll be there. But he will not be an end time bride to take a change because he's already gone.
Right.
Right.
That's right.
So I'm sorry to say that he got caught up in that Antichrist system. Don't get quiet.
Amen.
Anything outside of the doctrine of Jesus Christ is Antichrist.
Yes.
Anti-word. There's no in-between. There's no God's idea, James Dobson's idea, and the devil's idea. That's why I put my dependency on this message being right. And everything I've seen as I've come through these 30 years of being, or almost 30 of being a minister and being in the message, I've not found one time where it was off. I found many times when I was off. Hello, somebody. I found many times when I was off because you start a sentence with "I thought," you're wrong right there. Remember, I told y'all that a long time ago. Somebody comes up to me and says, "Well, I thought," well, you're wrong right there. It's like that. You feel sorry for people because you tell them. And that's what I told the sister, my cousin. I said, "Look, I can find in the Bible how we're living. Can you?" And that's why she kept saying, "Well, it's all in the heart. It's all in the heart." I said, "Yeah, but what's in your heart's got to show in your body." That's why they have been taken away from the word so much. When those seals opened, it put a group in and put a group out.
Amen.
It put a group in and it put a group out. That's why we're looking at the two groups now, and they're both in the framework of the church. One is going to be so deceived they think they're right and they're not going to make it. And then there's going to be a group that is the true believer that's going to take this thing and stand one day and say, "Death, I figured out your tactics, and I don't want nothing to deal with it." 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren," now this is Paul, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled." Now see, excuse me, Paul is preaching the seal here. He's preaching the first seal, but he has no idea that's what he's preaching.
Right. Yep.
I was thinking this morning, Brother Manuel, when John went to Patmos, every disciple was already dead, even Paul. So they couldn't, what I'm saying is they couldn't get John's writings and read it because John wrote all that down from Patmos, right? So he was really the one that spearheaded bringing the truth. Come on. I'm sorry. He was the only one alive, the only one God showed it to. And listen, and then nobody understood it. Daniel, shut up the book till the time of the end. John wasn't in the end time. We're in the end time. That's when the book is going to be open. Seal it up to the time of the end. Many will go to and fro, and there'll be all kinds of things happening. Listen, Daniel was preaching the seals too. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, look, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us." This is Paul. "As that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin," where was the man of sin in the first seal? He was sitting on a power. Wake up just a minute. He was sitting on a horse. A white horse. It looked good. He was going to conquer. He had a bow in his hand. He looked like he had some kind of power. But where did that power come? It come from a deceived group of people.
Amen.
That horse he was riding was a deceiver. Because what is a horse? It's a power. And the power is where? Power's in the people.
Right.
Let me explain that to you real quick. In the millennium, Satan is still going to be alive.
Right.
But Brother Bram said he had a chain on him. And it's not a chain like we think, but it's a chain of circumstances that there won't be any, God, come on, people. There won't be anybody give him a thought. Because Brother Bram said he'll have nobody to work through. In other words, all power had been taken away from him. Now, he'll raise up and try to bring an army. You got to give that guy one credit. He's pretty persistent.
Yes.
Amen. But he will never, ever, ever be victorious.
Right.
Ever be victorious.
Amen.
"Let no man deceive you by," see, man, "let no man deceive you by any means, that for that day shall not come except there becoming a falling away first," and we see that now. But I want to ask you a question. You can fall away sitting in your chair right now.
Amen.
You can get cold and formal. As Brother Darrell said, so stiff you can't raise your hands. Come on, people. You got to have something to be happy about. If you're not happy about this message, find you something. Go to a ball game and get all revved up. You'll get your joints going. That hurt. I'm not kidding. And that man of sin, look, be revealed. The son of perdition. In that first seal, it was revealed that was the Antichrist.
Amen.
Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God.
Amen.
Or that is worshipped, though, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Right.
Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholded that he might be revealed in his time. Paul knew there was something withholding. What? It was the opening of the seals.
Right.
That's what was withholding. He just couldn't, Brother Luis, he didn't have the verbiage at the time. He didn't know what a seal was. Remember, he was already dead.
Right.
But he knew there was something coming, that this thing right, this man right here was going to sit in the temple of God, showing himself to be as God, so he's going to be righteous. But it's self-righteousness,
amen,
not the righteousness of God.
That's right. Amen.
For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, Brother Bram told us, he, God, let this happen. All right, everybody with me?
Amen.
He, God, let this happen until he, the bride, he and she are one, until we be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's in the tribulation. Okay? Now remember, he won't be destroyed completely, but his tactics will, but you go on over to the lake of fire, and that's when he's destroyed. So in other words, that's way that way. But remember, he's working now, here. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Power, everybody's wanting power. We got the mechanics, but we don't have the dynamics. Or we got one and we ain't got the other. We're looking for signs. We're looking for wonders. Signs follow the believer.
Right.
Follow. That means they're behind you. You're not looking at them. The signs and wonders are looking at you.
Right.
I believe in them. I've seen them. But remember, the greatest thing Paul said, you can do all that.
That's right.
And not have charity. You can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost on your spirit realm right today and say amen and think you're understanding what I'm saying.
That's right. Come on.
We got to be right, people. We got to know that we know that we know that we know.
Amen.
And with all deceivableness, that's a hard word. Deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because look, they received not, they didn't receive the truth.
Right.
Said they did not receive the love of the truth. Love, agape love, the new birth.
Amen.
Of the truth. That they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. That's what he did at Nicaea. He sent them. Listen, they went as Christians.
Amen.
They went trying to figure out some things about the Bible. Or maybe not the Bible, but the teachings.
Right.
And what did they come out with? They came out with their own idea.
Amen.
And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believeth not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So that first seal, we'll get into it later on. It shows that there was a white righteous people on the earth. There was a true church that it was born at Pentecost. All right? Right? Then Satan gets involved, and he gets on a horse just like God's on a horse, on a white horse. He gets on his own horse, but it's a substitute.
That's right.
That's not God's horse he's on.
That's right.
That's his horse.
Amen.
That's not God's horse. That's his horse. But he's fixing to get off that horse and get on another horse, which is red.
Right.
red horse, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. We've had those. We've had wars and wars and wars. Listen, do y'all know how many wars are going on right now around the world? There's like 16 or 17 wars going on around the world. And that's just natural wars. Spiritual wars going on right now. But the end is not yet. Brother Brown said, no, the second seal, Matthew 24:6, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now remember, there's a natural application and a spiritual application.
Right.
Wars and rumors of wars. The wars we have.
Right.
Okay? All right, let's take the second seal. And then he reads, when he had opened the second seal, there went forth another horse that was red, and power was given to him. Now I want you to realize, some of you that are not familiar with the seals, look, power was given. Satan has no original power.
Amen.
Right? He has to be permitted or given power as God permitted him to do these things.
Right.
To what? Like I said before, the 200,000 demons. They're horrible demons, but what did he say it done? It turned and drove us back to our homeland.
Right.
That's what bombards me and you every single day of our life.
Yes, sir.
They're tormentors. But we got to be able to destroy that thing in our minds.
Amen.
A power was given to him that set thereon to take peace from the earth, and they should kill one another. And there was given to him, he didn't even have a sword. There was given to him a great sword. Perfectly, just exactly, all like to make the scripture answer itself, don't you? The Holy Spirit wrote it all, but he's able to reveal it. All right, the black horse, real quick. We'll get to the black horse, and then we'll stop because it's 8:25. Some people are already going to land a nod, but that's where Cain went. So the black horse, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in many places. Now, remember, the Bible tells us that the famine will not be for food. Listen, there's people, honestly, that are starving to death. They are. Amen. But not as many as are eating and are fat or getting nourishment, right? Now, the spiritual part of that is the same thing. You know, you can eat and be malnourished. It's according to what you eat. You can be malnourished with what you eat. Same way with the Bible. So there'll be famines. The Bible tells us there'll be famines that will take place. But it won't be for food. It'll be for what? For the Word of God. These are, now look, this is the black horse. This is the third horse, all right? The black horse, all these are the beginning of sorrows. All right? Now, what was the black horse? The black horse was the church ages. I mean, the dark ages. Everybody with me? We'll explain that later on. But the black horse, all right, the white horse was the first three ages. All right, the red horse come in right after that, and then the black horse, and then you got what? Then you got the pale horse, all right? Everybody with me?
Amen.
Okay, we'll get to all that later on. Now let's notice the third seal. What does it say? This is famine. Nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in many places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. See, you're coming right on up now. Now, Revelation the 6th. Now, we're going to open the third seal, Revelation 6, verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I beheld the third beast say, come and see. And beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand, and heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts. Now, this is the only seal. You with me? This is the only seal where Christ interjects and speaks himself.
Right.
Because it's a dark time. You with me? And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. See not that you hurt the oil and the wine. Famine, see, exactly the same seal, same thing Jesus said.
Amen.
Let's go to number four, pale horse, real quick. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, when we get to the fourth seal, what is that seal? That's the rapture seal.
Amen.
All right, is everybody with me? There's four beasts. There's four combat beasts, which is the Holy Ghost.
Right.
The lion, ox, man, and eagle. All right, is everybody with me?
Amen.
When we get to the fifth seal, there's no mention of a beast because there's only four. The Bible says there's four living creatures, four beasts.
Right.
So Brother Brown tells us, therefore, on the fourth seal, he says the rapture had to take place because there's no more combat beasts. So in other words, listen, folks, do you realize when we leave here and when the 144,000 get hunted down and killed and they leave out of here, there'll be no person on the face of this earth with the Holy Ghost in their soul.
Right.
Not one. Out of 9 billion people, there will be no one that has the Holy Ghost in their soul.
Right.
That's when all hell's going to break loose. Because what is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is our protector. Remember, he's a comforter. He comforts us through good and bad, but he's going to comfort us out of this place. And then that comforter is going to leave, Brother Manuel, and then there's nothing for God to come back to this earth for. Remember, we come back with him. Wow. Think about what he's done for us, folks. Think about what he's done for a group of people. Us. Not everybody else. Us. I don't know if we realize that or not. Us. He's did it for us. And then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Revelation 6, verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword. What's killing people now? Is knives and guns, artillery. Is that killing people now? No. No. Error in the Word of God is what's killing people. The worst killing you can have is to be standing alive and be dead.
Right.
You know what Scripture says?
Right. Yes.
They think they're alive, but they're dead.
Amen.
If that light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness?
Amen.
Power was given unto them in the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Then what happens? The resurrection happens, rapture takes place. All right? I want us to key on that. Make sure when we talk about the rapture, we must put resurrection in first.
Right.
And that's probably a flaw that people have not been taught, but Brother Dale's always taught us. Resurrection first, then a rapture.
Mm-hmm.
A rapture is just the event because of the resurrection, right?
Amen.
If you've been here long enough, you've heard him long, that's an event. It's the catching away. The if it's no resurrection, there's no rapture.
Yes.
So we got to have a resurrection first.
Amen.
First thing we got to do is we got to be resurrected.
Amen.
Now the fifth seal, we know it's the martyrdom, right? The fifth seal is a fifth seal Jew. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because in iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. What is the fifth seal? The fifth seal is the seal of grace. When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. This is not bride.
Right.
Now, Brother Brown will tell us, and I'll read it, where he thought that was the bride under the altar crying how long.
Right.
Not true at all. Not true at all. Because we don't ever say to avenge our blood.
Right. True.
No. That's not in me and you.
Right.
I don't care how bad somebody treats you. It's not good. Shall not be in you
right.
to get even with somebody.
Right.
Man, don't never be that way.
Right.
Don't ever set out to get even with somebody. And white robes were given unto everyone. You know why this is the greatest opportunity that man has of grace? Is that these people. Now, see, we have grace today. We have grace because why? We've accepted Jesus Christ. We know who he is. We know he has come and died, resurrected, ascended, came back on the day of Pentecost, sent us the word of God, right? And if we have that in our soul, we're born again. Right? You have received your white robe already. But this group of people, Brother Ryan, white robes were given them. We'll stop right there. White robes were given to these people. They didn't ask for them. You and I asked for grace. You and I asked for God to come into our soul. Because we realized there's a man died for us and we were lost. These people that died didn't even know Jesus was the Messiah. So how could he save them? By grace. The grace of God, we'll cover it. The grace of God that he blinded his own children's eyes. He did it so you and I could come in. He did it. He blinded a group of people and let 6.5 million Jews get killed in the Holocaust. So that we could be here today. You say, oh, that's a God that I wouldn't want to. No, that's a perfect God to me. Because remember, folks, Israel was once his bride. The Jews were once his bride. All right, right? But he had to divorce them for what they did. But he said, I'll never forget them. Because they were his people. They were his people to begin with, and he can't forget them. So you come over here to the end time, and you see that 6.5 million of them were killed to get them all drove back to where they need to be, but he's going to give them all eternal life. And they don't even know who that man is. Amen. But I'll guarantee you, folks, when we get over there, that'll be an opportunity for you to talk to one of them and tell them about this Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. And then he's going to go over there and he's going to talk to them through two witnesses. And they're going to preach Jesus so strong until they say, we're done for. Where did you get those scars? They're going to preach Jesus Christ so much to them until they're going to see that they killed the Messiah. But remember what he says. He says, oh, no, don't worry. This is all done for a purpose. Remember Joseph, Joseph's brothers were like, oh my, we're dead. We put him on the cross. In other words, we put Joseph in Egypt. And he's going to destroy us. All he's got, and he's got so much power. He's just going to say, take him out and kill him. Joseph, he had so much inside of him. He was trying to keep his composure. He was speaking to him in another language. He was hiding himself. Oh, come on, somebody. But what happened during that time, he sent his Gentile bride to the palace. They were nowhere around when he revealed himself in that courtroom. He revealed himself to them. And the first thing they said, Reuben and them, was like, oh, we're done for now. We threw him away. We got his inheritance. We told his daddy he was dead. You know what Joseph said? Joseph said, no. He said, this was done to preserve life. Because if Joseph hadn't got the dream or the vision to put up 7 years in good time, they would have all starved to death in the 7 years of famine. Amen. Same way with me and you. God give us 7 church ages. Amen. Now he's give us a 7 seal book. Open now. Amen. He's going to reveal himself to us. But when he's finished with us, he's going to go straight to the Jews, and they're going to say, oh, man, we're in trouble. He's going to say, no. No, you'll understand later. There's a group that's in another dimension that's shouting and praising God and having wine and bread at the communion table, and they're going to be up there for 3.5 years. I'm going to reveal myself to you. The reason I didn't reveal myself to you is to get that Gentile bride in. Once I got her in, I opened your eyes, and this is what it's going to be. It's going to be Jesus Christ. What a mighty God we serve. Let's stand. Musicians, come on, we'll sing a song. So the fifth seal, seal of grace. Sixth seal, judgment seal. Seventh seal, Christ, the headstone, the man that we've all been waiting on is right here in this word that we preach. Everything we got is right here in this Bible.
Amen.
All the types. I don't know that anybody typed Joseph like Brother Branham did. I mean, he typed him to be perfect like Christ except for one little flaw. He told a lie. Because, see, that made him human. But everything else, he did just, he was a perfect type of Christ.
Amen.
Revealed himself to his brothers, and who was his real brother? Come on, somebody. Benjamin. Benjamin was his real blood brother. The other ones were concubines and first wives and all this stuff. But his mother died in childbirth and had him and Benjamin. Benjamin was the last one. And Brother Brown said Benjamin topped 144,000. And if you'll see, the Bible says he went and hugged him first. Because remember, when they came without Benjamin. He said, well, go back and bring me your daddy here. Well, he knew he's going to bring his daddy. He's going to bring that baby, the youngest that's coming with him, you know. So when he got him in there, I'm sure, Brother Joe, he was like a house on fire on a windy day inside of his soul. I mean, I would have probably went into a closet, shut the door, and screamed to let some of it out. For him to just stand there. You know, he's standing there like an Egyptian and speaking in another language. Right. What? He hid himself on purpose just so he could get that Gentile bride and put her in the palace.
Amen.
And then reveal himself to his people.
Amen.
Israel's his people. That was his first people.
That's right.
But remember, the Gentile bride is the one he really wanted. Because he knew we'd love him without anything. Without having to be a commandment. Come on. We got all the commandments, but you don't have to throw the Ten Commandments in my yard all the time. You don't have to read me the Ten Commandments all the time. I live them as best I can. You should live them the best you can.
Right.
Live those Ten Commandments the best you can. We're the only one that can live it. Because we got the guy that wrote it in. Let's sing a song. God bless you. Real quick, just sing one song.
Oh, make me more like thee.
stay on the WhatsApp and the different places where we oppose Brother Joe, and different ones will be posting. We'll wait till Saturday to see how this thing works out. Many different models, has many different things, but we got a God to control it all. And if we don't have church, that'll be okay. Well, Brother Manuel will be here this coming Wednesday, and it should be kind of all cleared out by then. And then we'll continue on until we get to the Valentine's banquet, and Brother Eric Gaia will be speaking for us on the 21st, I think, or 22nd of February. Yeah, 22nd of February he'll be speaking for us. And keep all that in your heart and mind. Like I said before, if you bring in someone, make sure that you put their name down when you put your name down. All right? And I don't care how many people you bring. As long as it's a couple, bring whoever you want to bring. Amen? That's all right. But just make sure you write it down so we'll kind of get a definite answer to give to the caterer. And we're going to try to have a little extra for that Sunday. Now, it's according to how many people is going to be there. So just keep this, keep us in your heart. That Sunday, the Ohio group will still be here. They're not leaving till Monday. They're flying out Monday. They're not leaving till then. They're staying. They'll be here all day Sunday. So when the service is over Sunday, we're just going to stay here. And then I think we'll have enough. We always have enough left over. So we'll try to make sure we have enough left over till we can fellowship Saturday. I'm talking about that Sunday, the 22nd of February, after the Valentine's banquet, the next day, that Sunday. When the service is over, you won't have to go anywhere. We can all sit downstairs and fellowship with the Ohio group. We love them so very much, and we appreciate them, and we appreciate them coming down and being with us, and Brother Eric Gallo coming, driving all the way from Honduras to get here. But we sure do appreciate Brother Eric, and he's a funny guy. I appreciate him. But he will be speaking Sunday, and then after that, like I said, we'll just stay here and just have a bite, and what's left over, we'll just eat it all Sunday afternoon. I know some of y'all don't like leftovers, but bring you a hamburger if you need to. It was probably leftover too, the meat was, so anyway, think about that. But we're going to try to be accommodating that weekend, and just, I'd rather us try to stay here on Sunday than to go get something to eat, and we're all in different tables, and you know, you get scattered. We'll try to keep everybody here Sunday afternoon, and we'll need some help. Well, maybe some sisters putting stuff out, and brothers too helping, and then we'll have just a good fellowship here on Sunday after the service is over with Brother Eric. I don't think he's got to go home till the next week, right? But not that day, not Sunday. Yeah, so he'll be here with us for the whole day. So we'll have a good time of fellowship, and remember the Valentine's banquet, and keep us in your prayer. Let's sing one more time, Make Me More Like Thee, and then we'll be dismissed after we finish singing that song.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the word we heard tonight, Lord, how you just come down in a special way to commune with us, Lord. And we ask, Father, that may we go in your spirit, Lord, and meditate and reflect on what we heard, God, and to know as you speak into our heart, Lord, to just bond us and grow deeper, Lord, in your spirit and in your understanding. Make it a living word, Father, a living faith, a living virtue, Lord. And may, Lord, you just be with each one that come out tonight on the roads, Lord, and those who are sick and need a touch in their body from you. Lord, we thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your peace, Lord, that you give us beyond all understanding, Father. When life doesn't make sense, God, may we just hide away and just open our heart, Lord, and cry out to you. And you come in a still small voice, Lord, and reveal yourself that you're with us and you'll never forsake us or leave us. And Lord, we just ask God to go with us in your love and grace as we return again. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Oh, live your life.